the world. Right. We pursue sinful things right. to satisfy us, so on and so forth.
Or maybe more often, and it's more subtle, we pursue an identity of feeling justified through our actions, where we may doctrinally say that we're justified by grace through faith, but we want to feel more justified by our actions, and so we focus on the externals, and we want to apply a metric to our spiritual right. life. We
yeah,
want to
that's true.
We want to apply a metric to our Christian life that says, if I can accomplish these things spiritually, then I'll feel more justified.
Right.
I'll feel like I have a better standing with God.
Right.
And so what we turn to is what you see the early Jewish Christians turning to, is particularly in the book of Galatians, wanting to add something to the gospel.
Right.
They were wanting to add, in the case of Galatians, they were, I mean, we're talking about Peter, Rocky, right? We're talking about those who walked with Jesus,
right?
Barnabas, the companion of Paul, these pillars. Galatians
right.
says
rock
they
solid.
Rock solid. Says right. they were pillars in the faith. They struggled with wanting to add circumcision and dietary laws
right.
to the gospel.
Yep.
To feel more justified.
Right.
Right.
And you see that in Romans, I believe 14 as well.
Right.
It's the same.
It's that same thing. Struggle.
They struggle with wanting to add. And Paul right. says basically, like, why are you guys arguing about this? You know what the,
right.
you know what the word teaches, you know what's right.
Yes.
And so on anyways, but that passage in Galatians elaborates much
exactly.
more.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we do, it's the struggle hasn't gone away. I mean, there are so many Christians that I believe are genuinely believers. They
right.
they trust
Absolutely.
In Jesus. They have faith in Jesus, but they want to feel more justified. They haven't Let this identity that Paul speaks about in Ephesians 1 sink deep into their soul.
Absolutely.
So they feel like they have to perform.
Right. So I think you've got two things going here. The effects of a false identity is kind of a double-edged sword. Mm-hmm. It could be that you are going below the line,
yes.
so to speak.
Yes.
And you're saying, you know, I'm going to pursue these things, make other people happy, material things, you know, a career, performance, whatever
right.
it
sexuality.
Is, sexuality,
right.
You know, whatever it is, popularity. So I begin to pursue worldly things because, you know, God isn't sufficient.
Yes.
Okay. And who I am in Christ is not
right.
sufficient.
Right.
And my identity now, I'm pursuing other things.
Right.
And then the other side is what you mentioned. They go above, right?
Yes.
And once again, it's the same thing. My identity in Christ isn't sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
Christ isn't enough, so I have to add to it.
I have to find something to feel more justified.
Right.
Right. To feel more adopted. To
right.
feel like a better Christian.
And that's a reason a lot of those Christians that go above the line. When I say above the line, I just mean like the line is what the Bible says,
right?
Right? And when we go below it, we are coming short
right.
or compromising what the Bible says. But then when people go above the line, that's where you see legalism. That's where you see see Jesus plus. Like,
right.
I've got to do something because Jesus isn't sufficient. Now, I don't believe we would say that.
Doctrinally, we would never say that.
But practically,
we live
right.
as though we believe that Jesus is not enough
right.
and that we have to somehow not necessarily add to, we don't think our works necessarily make us more justified.
Yeah.
We just want it to be more true. If
right.
that makes sense. We
yeah.
want it to feel like it's more
right.
true. And so we go above the line.
Yeah. Almost yeah. like we view God as this angry person.
Mm-hmm.
And I do. I do this.
Yes.
I view God as sometimes, and it's wrong, but I view God sometimes as this angry person. And if I do these things, then I make him happy and I
right.
earn his favor. But what I need to realize is the favor of God has been given to me not because of anything I've done, but because of what his son has done
right.
and in him alone.
Right.
And that favor doesn't increase or decrease.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Because then it would be conditional.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a great point. So either one of those leads to a sinful lifestyle.
Yep.
Going above the line leads to this sinful lifestyle, legalism, the thing that the Pharisees struggled with.
Yep.
And then going below the line, and you know, it's liberalism. It's this, you know, it's this, I need other things, right? I need the world. I need more of the world to feel satisfied and secure in who I am, mm-hmm. in my identity. And then this next one, I think this kind of just naturally transitions, but a lack of purpose, or really you could say no purpose. Mm-hmm. Because when your identity is in something false, you have no purpose. Mm-hmm. You're not living for the glory of God. You're living for the glory of self. Mm-hmm. And that goes with what we talked about earlier, either legalism or liberalism, going above or below. It's not I'm living for the glory of God. I'm living to know God. But whenever we have a false identity, we're living for the glory of self, for the glory of things, mm-hmm. for people, mm-hmm. for opportunity, whatever it may be. And it shows us that we have no true purpose.
Right.
And that's why I think that's why you see in our culture a spike in anxiety, depression,
yes,
fear, loneliness, all the mental health issues. Not saying that all of that is caused by this, but mm-hmm. I believe a lot of it, especially in the Christian life, mm-hmm. is because we don't recognize what our true purpose is.
Yeah.
And I've heard people say that.
Right,
I've counseled with people. They've said, "I feel worthless. Mm-hmm. I don't. There's nothing for me to bring to the table, or there's nothing that like I don't. I'm not valuable, mm-hmm. right?" And they feel that way. Mm-hmm. And I think it's truly because they think I have no purpose here.
Right.
I don't matter.
Right.
Right.
And I think.
Go ahead.
Yeah. And when, like you said before, it all starts with a mistaken identity, an identity crisis. And when you esteem an external source besides God as the declarer of truth of who you are,
right?
If you allow some other voice mm-hmm. to tell you who you are,
yep.
whether that be your career identity, your friendship identity, your sexual identity, your political identity, your national identity, whatever this other identity that you allow to declare you are this,
yep.
right? And when you start to believe that,
yep.
then you will always feel hopeless, ultimately, because
that
external source will never be able to fully meet the needs of who you are as a person, right? And like we talked about before, our inheritance is access to a God who fully meets every single need of ours.
Yeah, and that's so true.
And so when we allow this other voice to say, you are this, you are less than, you are not worthy, you need to do more, you are not disciplined, you are not this, you are not that, or you are this,
right.
you are that.
Yeah, you have the pride, the pride of arrogance
and
being puffed up.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. You are so this, you are so that. Right. When you let that other voice start to define who you are, it will ultimately lead to a lack of purpose.
Yeah.
Because only the creator, only the one who knows who you are, who knit you together, right?
Mm-hmm.
Only he can truly define who you are.
Yeah. That's a good point.
He's the only one, right? Like
that's great.
Like think about like a Swiss watchmaker.
Yeah.
Okay. Delicate, like precise piece of equipment.
Yeah.
And that Swiss watchmaker knows how that thing works because he put it together. He put all those cogs into place. He loaded all the springs. He crafted this thing perfectly. He or she crafted this thing perfectly, right? He or she knows exactly how it works. They know how to maintain it.
Yeah.
They know how to service it. They know how to repair it.
Yeah.
They can look at it and say, it's not running. It's not keeping time properly. It's not running like it should. I need to make this change to it. A street vendor selling the Swiss watch can tell you all about it. Oh yeah, this is such and such. It's this brand. Everybody loves this one.
This is how much it is.
This is its value. This much it's cost. Yeah. But you're not going to go to that street vendor if you have a problem with it.
Right.
Right. If you have a problem with that watch, you're going to go to the source. You're going to go to the person
absolutely.
Who made it.
Yep.
Right. And that is our relationship to God.
Yeah.
Right. If we let these other voices, these other sources define who we are.
Yeah.
And tell us what our worth is, what our value is, what our purpose is.
Yeah.
ultimately we will be disappointed with that and we will feel unworthy. We will not feel like we have a purpose.
Yep.
But if we go to the one who created us, who crafted us,
absolutely,
who designed us, who preordained us for good works, for his yeah. glory, right?
Yeah, well, and created us to worship him.
Yes.
And to have relation, and through relationship.
Right.
To bear his name.
Right.
We're image bearers, right? To bear his name.
Exactly.
We were created for that purpose.
And if we turn to that voice and believe that voice and let that voice sink deep into our soul.
Absolutely.
Then we will begin to feel the value that God has sees us with.
Right? You know, and I think a part of this that we need to recognize, and we'll talk a little bit more about this when we get to the more practical things in here in a little bit, but the fact that in our world and in our culture, the world may truly think
mm-hmm.
that they value human beings, that they value life, mm-hmm. or, you know, that... Well, we're fighting for, you know, just for example, you know, LGBTQ, right? We're fighting for people,
mm-hmm.
Black Lives Matter, so on and so forth.
Right. Pick any special interest group.
Right, any organization.
Any special interest group.
And they're going to tell you, we value life, right? And we value people, and we want what's best for people. Mm-hmm. I mean... We value what's, you know, for workers, unions.
Right.
We value these workers and their rights and their lives and their livelihood and we want to fight for them, you know. But there is no greater, I don't know, this isn't even a word what I'm about to say, but no greater upholder
mm-hmm.
of life and value
right.
than God.
Right.
You know, and we think about that the world says, yeah, we care about you, this, that, and the other. You have purpose, this, that, and the other. But God says, I know you mm-hmm. intimately.
Mm-hmm.
I know you, like you said, I knit you together. I know every hair on your head, and it's numbered.
Mm-hmm.
I know you better than you know yourself.
Right.
I created you in my image.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's foolish for us and delusional when we turn to the world
mm-hmm.
to find our value and our identity, because if we don't offer something, or we don't agree, or we don't this, that, and the other, we don't look a certain way, we don't act a certain way, we don't dress a certain way, if we don't do things that fit
right.
their definition of what life should mm-hmm. look like, or a person should look like or be like, they reject us.
Yep.
And until you align with what we say, you don't matter, you have no purpose, this, that, and the other. And God says, I created you, and you have purpose, and you have value, and you matter, because I created you.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm the creator right. of all things. And that's right. kind of what you were talking about earlier.
The speaker of the only objective truth there is in
right.
the world,
right?
If there's... any way that there's objective truth, it can only come from God.
Absolutely.
It can only come from someone who is external.
Right.
Right? Who is totally transcendent from our existence, right? He is so other.
Totally just. Totally holy. Totally yes, right.
Right.
Totally loving.
I like to imagine, like, take all of the best qualities you love in a person, right? Someone
yeah.
you know who is kind, who's loving, who's right. warm, who's compassionate. Take all of the best qualities that if you could craft a person and says, give this person these qualities, right?
Yeah.
Take all those qualities. There's a source of that.
Right.
There is a person who is the ultimate source of all of that,
yeah.
right? And so he is the one that can speak objective truth into
right.
the world. But yep. he is also, while he is transcendent, he's also immanent.
Yep.
Right?
Personable.
He's personal. Like
right.
He entered into the human experience in the person of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Right? He came into our experience. He lived it. He felt every feeling you felt. He's felt tired, hungry, betrayed,
yeah.
sad, lonely, disheartened, discouraged. He's felt all those things. He's felt joy. He's felt happiness. He has experienced human life in the person of Jesus Christ.
Right.
He's otherworldly, but he's also here on in our world.
Yeah.
And then he has given us the Spirit to be our comforter and our counselor through the human experience, right? And so, bit of a rabbit trail, but if there's anybody who can speak objective truth, it's God.
Right.
He's the only one that can speak objective truth. And so therefore, that's the voice that we need to be hearing.
Right. It's not these ones like what you're saying. It's not these ones that are subjective. Right.
Right. Right.
Subjected to an ideology, subjected to all these things.
Or our time in our cultural moment, our time in history.
Right.
Like
right.
I think we engage in, C.S. Lewis called it chronological snobbery.
Mm.
Where we look at our time and we think, well, because I live in this time period, I'm so much smarter. I'm so much more refined. We have so much more understanding.
We're more advanced.
More advanced. It's such snobbery because in reality, we're going to look, it's 2021, in 50 years, we're going to look back and not we, but the culture is going to look back and say, oh my gosh, can you believe what they thought and said and did in 2021?
Right.
Every generation has that chronological snobbery. And so it's a fool's errand to listen to the contemporary voices,
right.
the voices of the moment of culture
Absolutely.
That we're in, right?
Yep.
To uphold these as the arbiter of truth,
yep.
because we happen to live in this period of time. How many times have we heard someone say, it's 2020 or it's 2021, right? They do the clapping emojis because it's like, you have to get up to speed. You have to catch up. You're being regressive. Well, that's going to change in like 10 years.
Yep.
And so it's foolish to say, oh, what we believe now, what the culture is saying now, what these external voices are saying now, they are the arbiter of truth. They are the upholder of truth, as you said, because it's just going to change. It's all subjective. But only one who is Alpha and Omega, only one who is beginning and end, outside of time, who exists at all times and in all places in the entire universe, only he can speak objective truth.
Right.
Only he can say what is universally true. And what he has said universally true is you are adopted.
That's right.
You are chosen. Mm-hmm. You are loved. You are predestined to do good works from the foundations of the earth for my glory.
Yep.
And your purpose is to know me and to make me known.
Yep.
And that is your purpose on earth. And when you fulfill that purpose, when you start living into that purpose, then you begin to feel more loved. You begin to feel the grace of God in your life. When you begin to live out that purpose, not pursuing all these other purposes, not going after these other special interests or seeking some sort of peace or some sort of comfort from these other sources. But when you take and you buy into that identity and you dedicate your life to living for the glory of God and knowing him intimately, that is when you begin to feel the grace of God.
Yeah.
And you begin to live in the grace of God.
And to enjoy God.
And to enjoy the pleasures of knowing God.
And that's what, John Piper said, God is most glorified by us when we are most satisfied with him.
Mm.
And that is so true. And that we find our identity, we find our satisfaction, we find our contentment, not in, like we've said, subjective, people or entities or whatever, or what culture says, but it's in his inerrant, infallible word, the things he has promised and said. And I think that is whenever the effects of that false identity is we have no purpose. Mm-hmm. It leads to that, like we'd mentioned, that sinful lifestyle of going below the line, compromising on God's word, or going above and adding to, and we fall into legalism. And both lead to misery, to sin, and ultimately to no purpose. We forget our purpose.
Right.
So now let's move to the last aspect of this is that, what does this look like practically? We're talking about, a false identity or, trusting in putting our identity in something else.
Mm-hmm.
But what does this look like practically? Because, I think is one of the things that, it matters that we can see these things in our life. And maybe God, and I believe God is probably right now revealing to you by the Holy Spirit and through his word, areas that you already know, I find my identity in my work. I find my identity in my performance. But we're just going to go through a few of these. Now, this isn't everything, right? But these are just some, you know, it's like kind of like casting a wide net, just mm-hmm. casting the net and seeing what you get, you yeah. know. And so like I said, this isn't everything, but because we're you know, extremely sinful human beings, yeah. and we can put our identity in all kinds of places that is wrong. But the first one is, and these are just more culturally prevalent, mm-hmm. I would say, today, mm-hmm. and so have been for probably the last few decades. But I would say the first one is gender.
Yep.
You know, whenever we see this, we see, now, don't get me wrong, God created male and female, and God the gender is important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Gender matters, right? And it's biblical. God created the male and female specifically. And, but I think we see in our culture where there's this obsession with I'm a man and I'm, you know, this, that, and the other, or I'm a female, or like we talked about earlier, I don't identify as either, right. or so on and so forth.
Right.
And there's this obsession with finding our identity in who we are biologically, right?
Right.
And it's not that, like I said, gender isn't important, but first and foremost, we're children of God,
mm-hmm.
right? It's not, well, I'm a male and it's all about me being a man and being this type, this alpha male. You know, you probably see things like that, yeah. you know, I see it all the time, this alpha male, you know,
yeah.
and that's like how you live. It's right. all about, and it right. turns out in this, how this turns sinfully is these alpha males or, you know, that's that pursuit, right, is abusing
right.
gender, right? And so right. then men are abusive and it's ungodly and,
right.
and they're confrontational and they're, you know, this, that, yeah. and the other.
Seeking conflict
and they want to be dominant. And they right. want to, and while the whole time, the Bible says to submit to one another.
Right.
The Bible says to love one another. The
right.
Bible says to be, that doesn't mean we're weak. It means
right.
it means that just because you act out in a sinful way, Jesus said to be meek,
right?
To be humble,
right?
Right. So
right.
this person, this type of, you know, obsession with your gender,
yes.
and then the flip side, you see feminism, where now you're, you know, feminism, you know, they, and I know that some people, not everybody's in the same boat. So I'm not making
right.
a generalization. I'm just saying. But I'm saying in most cases you see a lot of feminism that's gone completely far in the fact that you know, all men are evil and
mm-hmm.
all men are this and
right.
and I'm a woman and I have my personal rights and I have this over being a Christian, over
mm-hmm.
what truth is. It doesn't matter what truth is because it's my experience,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And so both sides we see practically with gender is, no, what does the Bible say?
Yeah.
That God's given us, being created male and female,
right,
is his design.
Right.
But men are called to you know, submit to one another. Women are called to submit to one another. They're called
right.
to, you know, Christian men and women are called to love one another, to have
yeah.
patience with one another, the fruits of the Spirit,
right.
self-control, godliness, you know, forgiveness, gentleness. I mean,
right,
but we see the perversion of that.
Yes.
In our culture.
Right, and that is it's an excellent classification of a mistaken identity.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just the mention of the word gender today in any conversation today, like everybody's antenna go up. Like, okay, what's this person going to say about gender?
Oh,
like,
yeah,
it's
right.
such a
right.
such a hot, polarizing topic. And what I don't think either of us want to do is to try to just totally dismiss this this experience that particular people are having, where they've misclassified their identity into their gender, right?
Right.
Whether it's an abuse of your biological gender,
right.
or a feeling of a transgender experience, right?
Right.
I'm not trying to just be hateful and just say, well, they're wrong. They need to. You
right,
know, they need
right.
to get in line, right? But it is a case of misplaced identity. It's
right.
it's saying, if I can identify this way, then I will feel more complete.
Yep.
I feel more whole. I feel
yep.
like I'm supposed to be.
Yeah.
I mean, just the way that the gender topic is discussed, it's who are you on the inside,
it's
right?
The verbiage, yeah. It's the words that are used.
Right. It's who are you actually? Who is that person? Okay, yeah. They were born this gender, but they're actually that person, mm-hmm. right? They're actually that gender. Or I'm a man, so I must act this way. Or I'm right. I'm a woman, so I must act this way. It's a matter of misplaced identity.
Yeah.
And so it's not that people that are experiencing this gender identity misappropriation just need to stop it or just try harder not to, right? Because the Bible has clearly taught us no amount of try harder will ever work.
Right.
Right.
It's not about this moralism and trying to check off boxes.
Right,
and,
right. Like just work harder. Just, you know, just that will always lead to despair because all you're doing is shifting. When you just shift to, you need to try harder to get your identity in place.
Yeah.
You need to live a certain way because of your gender, right? If you just try harder, you've shifted your identity from your gender to your try harderness.
Right.
If I can make up a word, right? Yeah. That's all you've done is you've shifted your identity. You haven't placed it where it belongs, and that's in what God has said. And so it is 100% a gender identity.
Right. And you know, one of the things that we talk about, that I see a lot, especially working with students, is there's confusion on what it means to be a man, mm-hmm. what it means to be a woman.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, and so kind of what you said, that they're misplaced, that they've allowed the world to define,
mm-hmm.
if we're not careful, we allow the world to define what's a man and what's a woman when God has already defined it.
God's already defined it.